Thank you for listening to Caffeinated Chicks, Motivating Women. Welcome to our lifestyle and personal development podcast, where we encourage you to be authentically you and keep it real. I'm your host, Abby.
And I'm her cousin, Rachel. We know it's Monday and we know you're tired. Our goal is to help you feel motivated, inspired, and ready to face whatever it is the week throws at you.
Come sit with us.
Grab your coffee and dive into meaningful conversation that will elevate your life.
Hi guys, it's Abby and Rachel.
Hey.
And we're Caffeinated Chicks. We are back with a new episode today, and Rachel's going to tell you guys all about it. But first, we want to jump in and say our current favorite thing and what we're drinking. So, Rachel, what is your current favorite thing?
Oh, man. My current favorite thing, I think, has honestly probably been my current favorite thing for the last several weeks, has been my ukulele. Because I've just been learning a lot of different techniques with the, oh my goodness, the word in English is just not here. Rasgueo, the strumming pattern. Yeah. Like lots of new strumming patterns, like some arpeggios, I think that's how you say that, like with finger picking and stuff like that. So it's been a lot of fun. And yeah, so I don't know, that's my current favorite thing.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. How about you?
My current favorite thing is, I kind of mentioned this on our last podcast episode, but I started a book club with some girlfriends of mine back in January. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a busy mom, sometimes I don't always get to read the book. So my husband and I have been kind of going back and forth, like since I've been listening to it on Audible. He's like, well, that's not reading. So we've been kind of joking back and forth. I'm like, no, it's definitely reading. So my favorite thing is I'm going back and forth between reading and listening to the book, but I'm at a really good part and we started a new book. And so I'm super excited about that.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that.
And then I am drinking water tonight. But what about you, Rachel?
I'm also drinking water. I finished my adrenal cocktail not long before this, and then I thought, oh no, now I don't have my thing I'm drinking.
Yep.
But yeah, tonight it's water.
Yep, and that's okay. We decided to do a night recording, so that's why we're drinking water tonight. But yeah. I'm not feeling the greatest. I don't know, Rachel, if you're having some issues with some allergies too, but my allergies have been awful. So if you hear kind of nasally, that's probably why.
I think my issue right now is the phlegm in the back of my throat from our laughing fit before we started this podcast.
That is true.
So that's what I'm trying to clear right now. So if you do hear me do that too, I apologize. But all right, again, exhibit A.
Yeah,
we're going to jump right into it with you guys. This podcast is going to be a little bit different than what we normally do. I feel like in a lot of our podcast episodes in the past, we've talked about a specific problem and we've given advice and help on that problem. This one, originally I had that intent, but I'm not 100% sure what the solution is yet. So I kind of just wanted to do kind of this informative podcast to get you guys to think about this topic and hopefully encourage you guys to just evaluate your lives a little bit. So yeah. that's what we're going to do. So the topic is America's problem with hurry, and hurry is in quotation marks, meaning our need for speed to constantly be busy. And most of this topic will be centered around a book that I've been reading called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And if you've never read it, go grab yourself a coffee. Go grab yourself a coffee too. That would be great.
Yes.
Go grab coffee yourself a coffee now off of Amazon or wherever, because it's so worth it, guys. It's such a good book. My best friend recommended it to me, I think like years ago. And I remember saying, well, Lisa, like I'm reading so many other books right now. Like I just can't. And she was like, no, you don't understand. You need to put down all of those books and read this one. And so I'm finally doing it. Like it's that good. And yeah. So anyway, just kind of want to discuss a little bit before I jump into the actual meat of this podcast episode, but wanted to discuss a little bit the differences between like America and other countries. Because I know, Abby, you've left the country a couple of times now. You've seen some differences. Yep. We all know I've left the country several times. And so I'm going to discuss a little bit like some of the differences that I've seen, and then I'm going to hand it over to Abby and let her kind of share a little bit of her thoughts. And so I've really only been in Latin American countries. I did go to Jamaica too, but otherwise, like, the pace of life is just different. The values is also like very different, whereas like here in America we value status and livelihood and money, and not that they don't value those things, but we want to climb the pyramid, or like climb the ladder. What's that phrase? And we want to be like, we want the American dream. Like, that's the goal. Everybody's chasing it. And whereas there, I feel like it's more just relaxed. They're more family oriented too. I mean, one cultural difference is that all the family still lives together. You're married and you have kids and you still live with your parents, and you know, everyone lives together, and it's a slower pace. People aren't in a hurry to get from one thing to the next thing. They want to enjoy life and be present in their circumstances. Like, I mean, that's just what I see. Like, when I'm there, it just feels like a breath of fresh air. Like, yeah. I can just, because I mean, here it's just so, it's so busy, it's so crazy, and it doesn't really matter how much you want to adopt a different lifestyle. When the world around you is doing what it's doing, it's hard not to conform to it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's one thing with Guatemala is it's just, it's slower, it's more laid back. People take time. They invest in people. They do things that they enjoy. They're not just constantly chasing the next buck or whatever it is. So anyway, that's been my experience. Abby, I don't know what your experience has been in this area.
Yeah. Well, I've only been to two different countries. One of them I had been to when I was 16, so I don't remember a whole lot. But that was Australia, and they're definitely more like a slower paced, I would say, as well too. But it just seems like more relaxed and more just everybody is more around each other. I've noticed too. Yeah. That was one thing I do really remember about Australia is like parks and beaches and everything. Like, everybody wanted to be around each other. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't exactly how a lot of like the parks, for example, like playgrounds and stuff, they like here, sometimes they're bare. Sometimes there's nobody there. But, right. Like, the playgrounds are always full out there, which is mm-hmm. really cool. And then the other place I've been is the Bahamas. And that one I can't speak on too much because we were at a resort, so it's kind of hard to tell. Obviously, like, sure. It's tourism, I should say. So you can't really tell, but they're just super friendly. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the other side of the island, and that was more like local shops and just, I don't know. It was just, like I said, how you were saying Guatemala is very like slow paced and like more relaxed. I felt like they care about the conversations and mm-hmm. all of that a lot more over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a intentionality thing. Like, yes. I feel like they're more intentional. They're less concerned about the next thing they have to do. Whereas, like, for example, I feel like you talk to an average American today and it's like, you don't even get their full attention because while you're talking to them, they're thinking about what the next thing they have to do is. Yeah. And it's just this need, like I said, it's this need for speed. It's like an obsession, and it kind of makes me sick because I feel like the older I get, the less I fit in my own culture, which is weird. And there's a reason why my friend Andre, who I've mentioned on here before, calls me more Guatemalan than I am American, because I feel way more comfortable with those people than I do with Americans. I don't know what it is. I've been told I like loosen up more when I'm with Guatemalans, for example. I laugh more. I'm a happier person. And it's just, and I don't necessarily think that that's anything to do with me. I think it's just the culture change. I mean, the people are just happier and they have usually less.
Yeah.
And they're more just bubbly. And whereas, Americans are intimidating. And unless you know them really well, you can't just like approach them and talk to them because I don't know. It's just weird. So anyway, we're getting a little bit off topic with this, but
yeah,
I did want to mention one thing that my friend Andre had said one time, and it really kind of like hit the nail on the head as far as like the differences go. Cause he he was born in Texas and he moved to Guatemala when he was 4 with his family. And then since when he turned 19, he moved back to America and he's been living here since. And, he was on the last trip with us. And so him and I were talking and I was just asking him, you know, how is life in America? You know, do you miss Guatemala a lot? And I remember him telling me, he goes, well, here's the thing. In Guatemala, I have life, he says. In America, I have routine.
Mm.
And I was like, whoa. And I mean, I could not think of a better way to describe it. Like what these other cultures have, like it's life. It's you're enjoying it. Like you're not, and I don't know. It's like here we think we need everything and we need to be everything and do everything. And we think that it's good for us, but it's not.
No.
It's not giving us life at all. It's not allowing us to be present in anything. So I don't know about you, Abby, but I want life.
Same.
So there's a quote in the book that really just hit me between the eyes, similar to this quote that Andre said, but most people in the Western world are too alive to die and too dead to live.
No.
Oof. Yikes.
Yeah. So for example, have you ever caught yourself saying you wish you had 10 more hours in the day?
On a daily.
But like, think about that for a second. What would you do if that could actually happen?
So much.
Mm-hmm.
Literally so much.
So you would add a bunch more things to your day?
No, I would spend more time with my family.
Sure. Okay. Well, your average person, and probably whether even you like to admit it or not, you would be adding a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you would just fill it up with more things and you'd be more tired, more burned out and emotionally frayed and spiritually at risk than we are now.
Yeah. Like,
if we could add, I mean, that's just what we do. It's because we have this obsession with doing everything. And I would like to think that I would use it more purposefully.
Yeah.
But if I'm being honest with myself, I'd probably find other things to fill that time with because it's, like I said, it's cultural for us. It's an obsession.
Yeah.
And so the point is this, the solution to an overbusy life is not more time. We don't need more time. It's to slow down, simplify your life around what actually matters. How to do that, I think, looks different for everyone. And that's why I say I have no solution to this problem of hurry, really. You have to sit down and decide what is most important in my life and what is not necessary. What can I cut out? Because you need to be able to rest. Like, for example, when you're sick, some people are like, oh my goodness, it's the end of the world because I have to do all these things and I can't be sick. And it's like, but you're sick because your body's trying to tell you to slow down, to rest. Like, and you have to be able to do that. So there's a few things on a couple of pages here I wanted to read that I was just very interesting and want to hear kind of your opinion on it too. So another thing, one of the things that he talked about with hurry is that hurry is a very dangerous thing for your spiritual life, because if you're constantly busy, you're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about the things of the Lord or anything like that. And so this is a Corrie Ten Boom quote that says, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. So then you can't focus on anything, like anything that's remotely spiritual or helpful. And so both sin and busyness have the same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul. Yeah. So yeah, you're not present with yourself. You're not present with the Lord. You're not present with other people. How dangerous this busyness can be. I mean, my pastor yep. used to say, busyness is demonic, meaning that it just cuts you off from being where you are. And so people are just, we're too busy to live emotionally healthy and spiritually rich, vibrant lives. You know? So another thing with this then is, let's see if you can figure this out, Abby. What do people normally answer when you ask them the customary, how are you?
I was literally just going to say this, honestly. Because after you made that last comment, I'm like, that's literally what everybody always says. Oh, I'm busy. I've been busy.
Yep. I'm good. I'm just busy.
Yep.
Like that's a badge of honor.
Yeah. Like, which it's not.
Right. Exactly. And so, I mean, yeah, it says here, granted, there's a healthy kind of busyness where your life is full with things that matter, not wasted on empty leisure or trivial pursuits. So yeah, it's not horrible to be busy, but are you busy with things that fill your soul and give you life and, you know, all of those good things, not just being busy with chasing the next thing, which, you know, in reality, when this life is over, like you can't take your money to heaven. Like,
no, I don't know.
And that's not obviously value in working and earning a living, but I feel like we obsess over it.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me keep going here. This one's a good one. Hurry and love are incompatible.
Oh yeah.
Just like when we were talking about how you can have a conversation with a person and they will not even be listening because they're thinking about what they have to do that day.
Yep.
You can't love a little person.
Never ending to-do list.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Hurry and love are oil and water. They simply do not mix.
Yep.
And yeah, it's true. So the interesting thing about our culture though, is that slow is like a bad thing, right? Yeah. We've talked about this before with like, if we don't do everything on our to-do list, we like suddenly feel like we're just horrible and lazy
and unproductive
because we didn't finish everything, but we finished 10 out of the 15 things. So instead of celebrating that, we're like, oh my gosh, we're so lazy and slow, right? Like that's, so this quote here says, in our culture, slow is pejorative. When someone has a slow IQ, we dub him or her slow. When the service at a restaurant is lousy, we call it slow.
Slow.
When a movie is boring, again, we complain that it's slow. Case in point, Merriam-Webster, mentally dull, stupid, naturally inert, or sluggish, lacking in readiness, promptness, or willingness. So the message is clear. Slow is bad. Fast is good.
Yep.
And that's part of the reason why we're where we are today is because slow is seen as like lazy.
Yep.
But it's not. And so if there's a secret to happiness, it's simple. Presence to the moment.
Yep.
The more present we are to the now, the more joy we tap into. And I know we've talked about, I think we've had a podcast episode before on just like being present.
Yep. One of our first episodes.
Yep. But it's, I want to live my life. I don't want my life to live me. I don't know about you, but, so yeah. another thing that the book had talked about too, like I said, this podcast is probably going to be all over the place, guys. I'm sorry. My brain's all over the place with this book, but we're distracted from distraction by distraction. Have you ever thought about that before?
No, I haven't, but it's true.
Uh-huh.
We constantly skim over our lives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you're scrolling through Instagram Reels, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I need
Four hours have passed.
Or like, I'm going to go do this, so then you go do that, and then doing that specific thing reminds you of another thing you have to do, so then you stop doing that thing, and you move to the next thing, and then you have, like, how many unfinished things?
That happens literally all the time.
That's a My brain is too.
Just like, oh.
Yep, exactly. But the book said, you know, we just skim over our lives instead of living them.
Yep.
And it's so true. And it was just like, I mean, to me, this is just so eye-opening because I don't even realize how big of a problem it was until I read this.
Yeah.
We move so fast through life that we're stressed out, on edge, and quick to snap at our spouses and our kids.
Yep.
Right? How do you feel about that, Abby? Have you experienced that? Sorry, words are hard.
Oh my gosh, yes. All the time. And I'm trying to be better at that, but yeah, it's hard, especially when we're distracted or we have all this other stuff that we're thinking about. It's just hard.
Yep. No, I agree. So this one of these chapters is called A Brief History of Speed. So it talks about kind of just how our culture has changed over the last several years. And it's very interesting. So it's talking about how, you know, back in the day before Thomas Edison created the light bulb, people went to bed when the sun went down and they got up when the sun got up. I mean, you ever think about how incredible their circadian rhythms were back then? Like got up with the sun, went to sleep when the sun set. I mean, and just how much sleep they got and probably how healthy they were, to be honest. But, life back then was dominated by agrarian rhythms, free of haste, careless of exactitude, and unconcerned by productivity. I mean, they were just living their life. And then eventually, you know, we stopped listening to our bodies and we started rising when our alarms droned off their oppressive siren, when our bodies were done resting.
Yep.
We became more efficient, yes, but also more machine, less human being. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that just make you think?
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness, I cannot. And I know that's not realistic nowadays, but man, I wish we could go back to that.
Yeah.
You know, going to bed when the sun went down, getting up when the sun rose. And just allowing your body to wake you up as it's been rested. Like,
instead of constantly hearing all those alarms going off.
Oh, yeah, especially yours. You who set
I don't know 50, what you're talking about.
You just snooze the one. I don't know. You either snooze the one or you set like 50. Or you do both.
It's both.
I knew it. Because then what happens is each individual one you snooze then keeps going off in between like every 2 minute increment.
Yeah. At least I actually hear my alarms though for my husband. He doesn't hear them at all.
Oh my goodness. Nope.
So then we just have a constant battle of alarms.
Yay. Sounds like fun. I would probably shove my husband off the bed.
Oh, I do.
Oh, man. Okay, so here are a couple of examples of just how life used to be like before. So before, we used to walk everywhere. Now we have cars to get from place to place in a hurry. Yeah. We used to make all of our food from scratch. Don't even get me started on the health issues we have now because we don't. Now we have takeout.
Oh, yeah.
The convenience. We used to write letters by... Yep. We used to write letters by hand. Now we have email. And of course, our new best friend, AI.
Yes.
So yet, in spite of our smartphones and programmable coffee pots and dishwashers and laundry machines and toasters, most of us feel like we have less time, not more.
Yeah. Isn't Which doesn't insane? Make any sense.
It doesn't. Like, because, you know, you look back over life and you're like, sure, yeah. Back then, they had to hand wash all of their clothes. They had to make everything from scratch. They had to wash all their dishes by hand. I mean, all of these things. And yet, we changed that so that we could revolutionize life, so that we could make, you know, imagine, like, I remember, you know, the book talked a little bit about people back in the day, and they're like, oh, if we could just do this, imagine how much time we'd have. And then we did it, and we don't have time. Mm-hmm. Because what do? We fill it with other things that we need to do because we're obsessed with being busy. I mean, that's just this whole point. And so it says, in the 1960s, futurists all over the world, from sci-fi writers to political theorists, thought that by now we'd all be working way fewer hours. One famous Senate subcommittee in 1967 was told that by 1985, the average American would work only 22 hours a week for 27 weeks a year. Everybody thought the main problem in the future would be too much leisure.
Oh my gosh, that would have been nice.
Right? Well, because these people, when they saw the way that the world was progressing and all the machines that we were making and what we were doing to make life easier and faster, they just assumed that we would have more time then. How did that not?
Right. Especially when it's supposed to be more efficient, but it's not more efficient.
Yep. Exactly. Well, then this quote goes back to a little bit what we were talking about with, like, what makes a person, like, important. It says, a century ago, the less you worked, the more status you had. Now it's flipped. The more you sit around and relax, the less status you have. You're seen as lazy. Oh, you're not, yeah. You know, you're a stay-at-home mom. You don't
work. That's all you do?
That's all you, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's not... All of a sudden, we have, like, made being super busy and made, like, having the topest point in your position in your job or whatever be, like, the thing that makes you this big person of status. And, yeah, it's – oh, my goodness. This part – I should just read this whole thing. So it says – my dad is pushing 70 and he tells stories about growing up in the Bay Area in the 50s and how the entire city would shut down at 6 on weekdays and all day on Sundays. Nothing was open but the church. Nobody went out to brunch or to a sports game, much less shopping. Can you imagine that happening in Silicon Valley today? I can't. My dad still talks about what a big deal it was when 7-Eleven came to town, the first chain store to stay open 7 days a week and until 11 p.m., in one generation, Sunday evolved from a day of rest and worship to a day to buy more crap we don't need, run errands, eat out, or just get a jump start on our work for the week ahead. Our culture never even slowed down long enough to ask, what will this new pace of life do to our souls? Do you know how cool that would be if they still did that? If everything just shut down at 6 p.m. every day so people could go home and have a life? And because you couldn't do anything else,
like, right.
You would go home to your families and spend time with them. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love going out just as much as the next person. But to what cost?
Right. Well, like other countries, they'll shut down. Mm-hmm. And they close at a certain time. And they like, I can't remember what country it was. And maybe it's not true or not. But they like... took a time out of the day to take a nap and then they could go back to the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a nap time in a different country. Like everybody naps, like everything closes. Like what?
I know. That, I mean, you know how awesome that would be? I mean, like that
blows
is
my
just,
mind.
That is living a just content and slow and leisurely lifestyle, but still enjoying life and still working and still all of the things.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get into a little bit with, there is a page here that talks about just like the different symptoms of hurry sickness. I'm not going to read them all, or like, I'm not going to read the explanation of all of them because we don't have enough time for it, but I'll just kind of like read off what they are. So like irritability, hypersensitivity, yep. Restlessness, workaholism, or just nonstop activity,
yep.
Emotional numbness, out of order priorities, lack of care for your body, escapist behaviors, slippage of spiritual disciplines, and isolation. I think when I scored myself, I got 7 out of 10. So that's not great.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you see yourself in a couple of those?
Oh, a lot of them. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
Most definitely.
Yep.
Gosh.
So another thing that this book, you know, we talked a little bit about, like, how it's not, you can't hurry in love. Like both of them just don't go together. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, then what hurry does is it kills relationships.
Yep.
Because love takes time, doesn't it, Abby?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Like, can you love a person by just like trying to hurry and gain their friendship? Like there's no hurry to that. You have to take time.
Yeah. It took like at least a year.
Mm-hmm.
For both exactly. of my husband and I to say I love you. So it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love takes time and hurry doesn't have it.
Nope. You have to sit there and nurture those relationships.
Exactly. So what you give your attention to then is the person that you become.
Yep.
Right? Like what you obsess over and what's important to you. And yeah. There's a quote here on this page that I wanted to read. Hopefully it's this one. I think it's this one. It says, there is a danger that you will mislive, that despite all of your activity, despite all the pleasant diversions you might have enjoyed while alive, you will end up living a bad life. There is, in other words, a danger that when you are on your deathbed, you will look back and realize that you wasted your one chance at living. Instead of spending your life pursuing something genuinely valuable, you squandered it because you allowed yourself to be distracted by the various baubles life has to offer. And that's kind of a scary thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there's been scenarios where I've left an experience and gone. I was not there for any of that.
Oh, yeah.
And just been disappointed, you know? So can you imagine on your deathbed going, wow, I didn't really live.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that.
So then, you know, the part of the problem what we have then is that we live in a culture that wants to transgress all limitations, not accept them, to cheat time and space, to be like God. In other words, like we want to do it all. We want to be it all. But here's the thing. You can't do it all.
No.
No. And no, and you've probably heard this before, no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
And it's one we need to work into our vocabulary.
100%.
How's your ability to say no to things, Abby?
I am a recovering people pleaser.
So. Yeah. Do you have a story at all to share of like a time you said no or a time you wish you would have said no?
I don't say no often. So I don't really have a story to go with it, but I have had lots of times where I've came back and wished I didn't or wished I said no.
Sure.
Like I regretted it after the fact. I think the most recent thing that happened was I said yes that I was going to do something, and then I ended up, I was very proud of myself because this doesn't happen, but I actually went back to that person and I was like, actually no. I can't do that.
Good for you.
So it was a lot of stuff that needed to get done for this project, and I didn't have it on my plate and I couldn't handle it. I had enough on there. So
mm-hmm.
it's not an easy word to say.
especially if you're a people pleaser.
Yeah. That is one thing I cannot relate to. I think I'm a people pleaser.
Depending, I would say, on to an extent, or
to a very small extent. But I've always also been, well, I don't care what you think about me.
Yeah.
Like, that's been my personality for, I feel like, much of my life. And yeah, there's exceptions to that.
Oh, but, yeah.
For the most part, I feel like I'm like, nah, I'm a no.
I'm good.
I've wanted to be that person that I didn't want to do it because everyone else did it. Like, I was like, yeah.
That's a good thing, though. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, we simply cannot see, we cannot read, watch, taste, drink, experience, be, or do it all. No. Like, that's not an option. And that's the thing, is life is a series of choices. Like, every yes is 1,000 no's.
Mm-hmm.
So every activity we give our time to, everything we give our time to, is 1,000 other activities that we don't give our time to.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't be in two places at once.
Right.
So it's figuring out, you know, what are the things that, like, figuring out what do you want to, like, what do you want your life to be like? And then just taking that, and I'm trying to think of how to word this, but just revolving your life around then that, and not being so caught up with all of the other distractions and things. And, you know, I feel like half the stuff we do, we really don't even like that much.
No.
So that's like, so why do we do it? You know?
Right.
I mean, obviously some of it you have to.
That's the golden question, though. Yeah. Some things there's nothing you can do to get out of it. Like, you have to do it. Like, you have to make money to live.
Mm-hmm. Like, you have to feed your family, you know?
Right.
If I could not cook for the rest of my life, I would love it.
Right. Right.
Well, I do like to cook for some things, but no, it was just, it's more the shopping and coming up with the meals. If somebody could do all that for me, then I'd be happy. But anyway.
Right. Right.
But I mean, like, the sad truth is that I think just most of us waste copious amounts of time. Like, for all the talk of hurry and overload, most of it's self-inflicted. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. Yes. Yes. Like,
I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't tell you how many days where I've had a plan and then I just did other things. And then I was like, oh, well, that was a waste of time. And now I'm upset because I didn't get this done because I wasted my time doing X, Y, Z.
Yep.
So, I mean, it is 100% self-inflicted.
Yeah.
There's a Bible verse in Ephesians that says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. And that phrase, making the best use of time, translated from the Greek, means like redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity, of every chance that you get.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my hope with this podcast, is to help you guys, sorry, to see that every day is a chance. Every hour is an opportunity. Every moment is a precious gift.
100%.
And so to be constantly chasing the American dream or the next dollar or whatever, you can't take any of that with you when you go.
No.
And I'm just kind of wanted to end with the last couple of thoughts would be a quote from Gandhi that said, there's more to life than increasing its speed.
Yep.
And then a final thought from the book would be, what is all of this distraction, addiction, and pace of life doing to our souls?
Nothing good, that's for sure.
Nothing good is right. Yep. We're stressed out. We're unhealthy. There's so many things. That's a whole nother podcast episode.
Oh,
man.
Heck yeah.
But
that's another huge list.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know this is a little bit different than kind of what we've done in the past, but I was very challenged by this book and my eyes were opened and I was like, man, I need to share this. More people need to know about this. Again, I'm not really sure what the solution to the hurry problem is, because as long as I live in America, it's going to be hard not to conform to their culture and life.
Yeah.
But I think my biggest advice would be to just, yeah, figure out what you want your life to be like, and then only allow the things in your life that actually help that, help you to do that. And just slow down. I mean, just breathe. I mean, you have to do yoga, or if you have to like go for a walk in nature or whatever, I mean, just slow down. I mean, it's not healthy for you to constantly be running. And we wonder why we're sick all the time.
Yeah.
Again, like that's a whole nother podcast episode, but yeah, that is what I have with you for you guys today. I don't know if you have any other thoughts, Abby.
I was just going to say, just take the time to just be. And learn to say no.
100%.
I would say those are huge. But yeah, if you guys have any other thoughts on this, feel free to let Rachel and I know. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And well, look forward to our next episode. So
yeah, that's we'll all see for you guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Abby and I over a cup of coffee, black for me.
Or a cup of creamer with a dash of coffee for me.
Gross. We look forward to motivating and encouraging you in this crazy thing we call life.
But before you go, make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. Subscribe on Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening. And please, please, please leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. Come tired and leave inspired with Rachel and Abby. Until next time, we're Caffeinated Chicks.